In the last few weeks, we have been looking at this thing called authority. And I've entitled this thing today, "And All Things." Sounds weird, but Anthony encourages me to come up with a title for each one of these sermons. He says on the internet that a lot of people won't click to it unless the title is attractive. Well, I don't know about that, but if Anthony says so, he's a lot smarter about that than I am, so hey, I'll go along. That's something else about authority. We learn to submit to people who know more about a subject as born-again believers than we do. That's what it's all about. As we said a couple of weeks ago, so that the wealth of all of us, or the wealth of one of us, might become the wealth of all of us. It's like I said, you walk in my house and it looks like I know how to match draperies and rugs, and I don't. But she does, and I let her do it. And that's the way it works. I want to remind you of a scripture, and we're going to go further into it, I think, unless the Lord changes something that I don't know about yet. If you remember in John chapter 1 and verse 12, and you don't have to turn there, it's a scripture we use around here a lot. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name." I don't think I have ever brought that verse to you that I didn't emphasize the word power, because it's been impressed on me by God that we need to know what kind of weapon we have to fight Satan and his ways. But I'm going to put it on another word today in that, because that's what God has been doing with me all week. "But as many as receive them, Him, to them He gave the power." We ought to understand about the power by now. But I tell you, some kind of way we've got to have impressed on our minds who we are walking around down here on this earth. You can't look around you. The world will make you look like you have no worth whatsoever. But I want to remind you, it's to you that He gave the mysteries that He held back all through the times of the Old Testament, and gave it to us in the New Testament as He established the church. I want to remind you of something else. If you think back about the scripture that you know, I believe God created us as a people to be dependent. Our independence, our autonomous nature, is what gets us in trouble. It's what got Satan in trouble, and it'll get us in trouble. So we are created to be dependent on something. We are fairly easily counseled by good and by bad. So I'm seeing that whatever way we choose, whether you choose to be counseled by God, or you choose to be counseled by yourself or Satan, which is the same thing, you're going to have tribulation. If you're dealing with Satan, remember, he's the one that came to kill and steal and destroy. And if you're dealing with God, God is chastising you to make you perfect like Jesus Christ was. So nobody, this whole idea that if you get to be a Christian, everything is going to be trouble-free from then on. Don't believe it. It hadn't happened that way in my life, and I don't know really anybody that has. The thing that I've learned is so important is to not let the troubles that come into your life keep you from learning enough to be more like Christ. A problem doesn't have to be a problem if you learn from it. And all things work for good for them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. We need to remember that. So my attitude should be, when I find myself in a jam, Lord, I think I'm learning. Make me learn quick so I can get out of this mess. But we're going to have tribulation. And then we get over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is about our life as born-again believers. And I've been thinking ever since He gave me this scripture and this idea about the verse that Paul says that he prays that we won't miss the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. How many times have I heard people say, well, I read the Bible, but I just can't understand it. Let me show you something about this verse that he has brought out to me just in the last week. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's a Christian, folks, if you need any interpretation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you know where I got the title, All Things. Now listen, this is an ideal. This is God's will for you as a born-again believer, that all things become new. You can't do that. I know, you try to quit cussing and you try to quit drinking and smoking. You list it however you want to. There's all kind of lists out there. But the thing is, folks, and I hope you understand it by now, we're a bucket of dust. We came here as dust and we're going to leave as dust. And we'll never be anything but dust. But see, Jesus gets in that bucket with us. And all of a sudden we start doing things and saying things that make us look like we're very special. But it's Jesus. Even Jesus says, I'm not doing all these things that y'all are giving me credit for. It's the Holy Spirit from God that's doing it, not me. He came and became as a man, it says in Hebrews, in all things so that He might be worthy to stand for us in the throne room of God. So He is wanting to make things with you. Now that you are a born-again believer, you qualified. Your dues are paid, that every single thing in your life is new. But you got to let it happen. He's working on you for that. Will you let it happen? Or you insist on retaining your independent nature? And something else I want to add. He doesn't rehab you. Salvation is not a rehab job. You don't go in and make something you got stronger and make something you got better looking or make something better satisfied with Christ, to God, because the only thing God is satisfied with is Jesus Christ. And the more of Him you allow to come in you, the more satisfied Christ is, or God is, with you, because when He looks at you, He sees His Son Christ. All things are become new, it says. How many times have you read over that and just really passed it off? All things in you, since you accepted Him as your Savior, had become new. It's there if you'll let it be new. And look at the next sentence. There's another all things there. I really haven't paid that much attention to it because my emphasis has always been in another part of the verse. But look what it says. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and to have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God. That is a very simple statement. You don't have to dig out your concordance or your Greek text or anything else to figure out what God says there. All things are of God. Now, therefore, now that you're a Christian, God says His will for us is that every single thing in our life is of Him. I thought about that congressman that said that when Christians are elected into the government, they've got to figure out a way to separate their Christianity from their role of government. This here says, that's a bunch of junk. But you don't, see, I want to be what God wants me to be, but it's hard for me. Well, let me ask you this. If your mind tells you, now that I'm a Christian, every single thing in my life is of God. I don't go to a job that doesn't have God, because when I get there, I've carried Him with me. I don't go to a store that doesn't have God, because when I get there, He's part of that. Every single decision I make in my life has got to have God's superintending or watchful over it and telling me how I must do in order for me to live as a Christian successfully. You remember what Psalms 1:1 says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it's a progression. Who standeth in the seat of sinners and standeth with sinners and sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at that. Look at that. Blessed is the man that doesn't let ungodly people tell him how to live. That's what it says. Now, how many people in a day, how many Christians in a day take advice in any form, without considering what God would say about it? Yeah, but you don't understand. This is finances. God's over finances too. But this is my health. God's over that too. But this is this, this is this, this is this. Doesn't matter. It says, all things are of God. I'll tell you this. God wants to meddle in every single affair you got. And He wants to have the opportunity to guide you in whatever decision you have to make regarding that. Now, it said in John 1:12, to them He gave the power. But over in the margin, it says authority. That brings us right back to where it is. Them who He received, He gave the authority to be the sons of God. Now, I don't know whether you grasp that yet, but the way the Bible sees is when God sends us out to do something, He goes ahead of us. And when you get there to do the thing that God wants you to do, you will find that people are listening to you. You won't get a lot of static. He's been there before. When you witness to somebody, and they say, well, I've had that on my mind. I'm glad you're talking to me about that. See, God's already been there. That's what He's talking about here. He will be the authority for you. When He calls you to do something, He'll go ahead of you to make sure that it's going to work. When I go, I might get there and found out that he hadn't been there. And what I'm trying to do is going to be unsuccessful if it happens. So we're still talking here about authority. And this spirit of authority, I call it, not just being obedient to this or to that or to this. Well, my dad was a policeman, so I'm obedient to the police. I don't give them any trouble. But now you take this guy over here, see what I'm saying? It's a spirit of obedience. It's the spirit in a person to be obedient and submissive to the authorities that God has placed in his life. Look at Romans chapter 13. It explains it all. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. All authority on earth was given to Jesus. So you see an authority down here, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's the boss of a little crew, if it's a judge with a robe, or a policeman with a badge, or a governor, or a mayor, or the president of the United States, all of them were put there by God, and they represent his authority. Whether they act like it or not, whether they even know they do or not. The powers that be are ordained of God. He allowed them to be there. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment. You resist authority, and God is obligated to see that you get punished for it. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. When that guy's looking in your window with that big old badge and says, "Can I see your driver's license?" If you can see him as an agent of God, it makes it a little bit easier to put up with, you know. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he's a minister of God, an avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Don't have to be obedient altogether because of God's wrath, but because of your own conscience. If you continue to act opposing your conscience, you're not going to have peace. It says in chapter 14 of Romans, remember? Whether it's wrong or not, if you think it's wrong, you don't need to do it. Because God doesn't want you getting in the habit of doing things you think are wrong. So if you think it's wrong, just don't do it. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And I've got written in there respect. This is the thing we've been talking about. It is so lacking in today's culture and society is respect. Nobody's got respect. It's no wonder kids don't have respect. They're not taught to respect. And they sit around the table and hear their folks and their family talk disrespectfully all day long about everybody. But it says, the mark of a spiritual person is to render to everyone his due. Now there's some things about this thing of authority I think we as Christians, because I hear Christians making all kinds of statements that are not biblical at all. And that goes back to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that doesn't get counseled by the ungodly. And that's what's happened to us. We've taken other advice than God's, and we believe all kind of things. But after the flood, God gave the government of men to men. And there is a scripture here, and I have heard Christians all over talking about it ought to be this way and it ought to be that way. But let me read to you what God says. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. It's called the Noahic Covenant. And after Noah got out of the ark and out of the flood, God made a covenant with him, and he said, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require." In other words, there's 8 of you guys, but before long there's going to be a bunch of you, and you need to understand something. Your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. If a tiger kills you, he's got God on him. If a man kills you, he's got God on him. Because you remember when Cain slew Abel, and God says, "Where's your brother? His blood calls to me out of the ground." That's a weird thing right there. Does every time one of us die, our blood calls to God out of the ground? I don't know. But he said it as an example. And the next verse says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." He doesn't talk about probation. He doesn't talk about all these retrials. He doesn't talk about appeals. He says, when a man kills another man, you folks are supposed to kill him. Now, it used to be the individual's family. Now it's government. But government doesn't do like God wants us to do. And so a lot of people have killed people who are still living. And that's not God's will. But that's part of this authority thing. So what I'm telling you, you live in a world, you belong to God, you try to obey God, but you live in a world where people don't obey God and you have to live with it. But hey, you don't need to take their attitude. You understand that when a man kills another man, he's supposed to die. According to God, he's supposed to die. And just to throw it in without charging a quarter extra, it says in Ecclesiastes, "For the lack of the speedy execution of justice, it is set in the heart of the sons of men to do evil." Our psychologists have found out a pretty interesting thing. People on death row, in solitary confinement, with no communication with anybody, for some reason get meaner and meaner and meaner every day. But Ecclesiastes says it's because they hadn't been punished for what they did. And when you do something that's wrong and you know it's wrong and nobody punishes you for it, for some reason that works in you to make you meaner and meaner every day. But I'm going to tell you, to be authority for God, you got to empty yourself. You remember what he says? Jesus said, "If a man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." You can't be independent. You can't be yourself and demand that other people respect it. You can't do it. Because the life of a Christian is one who denies himself and loves others even as himself, the book says. Authority is set up to give us a sense of God, not a sense of ourself. And that's what we need to understand. God, in God, everything that God has to deal with is governed by authority. Now I would like to show you one about authority that's a little closer to home. This is another one of those things that is being perpetrated on the church. In Mark chapter 10, if you want to turn there, you can. I'd like for you to know where that verse is or where that this little part of Scripture is. Because if you remember, the setting is James and John's mother had brought them to Jesus. Now this is one of those cases where we were talking a couple of weeks ago about reasoning. He says for us not to reason out stuff like the heathen do. Well, James and John and their mama had gotten together, and they had studied about this thing, and they had talked about it, and they had come out, it seems like the thing to do to us, that Jesus, you need to put one of us on your right hand when you get to glory, and another on your left hand. And I can just see their mama poking them and saying, go on, tell him, go on, tell him. We've already talked about this. We've decided this is what y'all deserve. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give you. And then he makes a statement. In verse 42. Mark chapter 10 and verse 42. He says in verse 40, and to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it's prepared. God's already planned that. I can't go against that. I can't say what I'd like to do. And when the other 10 heard it, they began to get much displeased with James and John. Here are these two. They've heard all his teachings. They're running with us. And all of a sudden they want to sneak in behind our back with their mama and get some special treatment. And they got hot about it. And Jesus answers all of them with this. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, that's the unsaved, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Out here in the unsaved world, when you got a person with authority, he rules over all those that are under him. He's the big boss. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever would be great among you shall be your minister or your servant. And whosoever you would be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Some of you know about it because some of you have had to deal with it. I know because you've come to me and told me about it. There is this idea being perpetrated today in seminaries that pastors are the bosses of their congregation. That to challenge a pastor on what he says is challenging God. You see what he says here. Among you, among Christians, the leaders should not be rulers. They're not to be treated like bosses. If they want to be the greatest, they've got to make of themselves the least. They've got to minister to folks. They've got to be a servant to folks. We all know what he says about pride. That he resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It says here that a ruler, and we know that preachers are claiming that they rule the church. And you got to do what they say. Jesus says that's not to be. That's not to be. That he should be making an example of himself by being a servant. You know, when God came to Moses and told him, I want you to go and get my people out of Egypt, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe he could. When he called Gideon and said, you need to raise 30,000 as an army, Gideon says, you must be talking to my uncle. You're not talking to me. He's a soldier. God said, no, I'm talking to you. So I'm going to tell you this today, folks. Maybe you don't think that you're qualified to be an authority for God. But I tell you this, if God calls you to do something, he has already given you the authority to be that thing. But if anybody representing God takes it upon himself to issue out his own likes and dislikes for the people that are supposed to be under it, he misrepresents God and must be punished by God. God has to separate himself from the works of man. Do you realize that? That's the reason so many people out here hustling around, trying to find something, one way to please God, doing their own things. All of a sudden you look around, God's not there anymore. He said, I got to separate myself from what you guys come up with, because my ways are far from your ways as heaven is from earth. But there's two ideas of authority that are going on out there now. And this idea that is being pushed by so many is what we call positional authority. If you're the preacher, you're the boss. Doesn't matter whether you're right. Doesn't matter whether you're wrong. Doesn't matter whether you're doing it godly. Doesn't matter whether you're doing it according to Satan's ways. It doesn't remember whether you're spiritual or not spiritual, or scripture or not scriptural. If you're the preacher, you're the boss. That's what you call positional authority. You get your authority by the position you're in. God never says that in His Word, folks. If He calls you to be a pastor, He will give you the authority to handle that job as long as you're obedient to Him. That's what you call ministerial authority. That's the authority that God's got in His Word, not positional authority. Because you see, if you have positional authority, you can tell people wrong. You can tell people things that are against God, and you think they've got to mind you. And that right there is the big error. Because you see, being spiritual is not a level that you can attain. I don't care how many years you've been a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or been going to church, or any way you want to look at it, up or down, teaching the little kids or the big kids. Spiritual is an attitude. And when you act under the control of the Spirit, you are spiritual. In the next second, you can act on your own self, and you won't be spiritual anymore. You'll be what the Bible calls carnal. So spirituality is not a level that you can attain and maintain it, because we go in and out of spirituality all the time. Hopefully, longer we live, we stay in spirituality longer. That's God's will. When God calls a person to a job, He equips him. He gives him the authority to do the task. And let me say this, God is bound by His own honor. When He calls you to do something, He is bound to make sure that He goes ahead of you and gives you the authority to do what He called you to do. Man really has never been given any right to decide anything. No right to choose the way of the church or the method of His work. And when our own way becomes the motivation of God's work, we walk very close to Satan's way. Remember what he says? I'm going to be like the Most High God. You guys listen to me. And 1/3 of the angels did, and they all got booted out of heaven. If we struggle for authority, if we try to be the boss, and we make every kind of attempt, underhanded and whatever, to be that, we're carnal. Because you see, if God's going to establish our authority, He'll do it without our help. If we try to do it, we'll mess it up every time. You remember that the kingdom of heaven is the authority of heaven on this earth. It's not seen by our works or by our suffering or our sacrifice. This is something spiritual maturity has got to teach us. It's not about church going. It's not about giving. It's not about how much we sacrifice, how many hours we lose working for God. It's about obedient spirit. That's what it's all about. Because you see, all that other can be faked. And it's faked a lot in the church. I know, I've been there. And I put out a lot of efforts just because I wanted the people around me to think I was a pretty cool Christian. And you see, I didn't get anything for that, because I was doing it on my own. A person's authority is given by God, It's to be used for God, and it's to be used God's way. Knowing it or not, a Christian's responsibility is to honor and obey those authorities that God, whether it's God or whether He has delegated authority to somebody else, in our life, it's our job and our testimony as a Christian to be submissive to those authorities in our life. And Ephesians chapter 5, to submit ourselves to each other. That's the way we're supposed to do it. We're all to learn to recognize in even a conversation, we five people get together. Sometimes in even that situation, God has given somebody authority. And you hear them, and you listen, and you see if you can learn something from it. Because like I said, the wealth of one becomes the wealth of all if we handle it like God wanted us to. In all things.